What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show. It's Monday, February 7th, 2011, a week to go before Valentine's Day. So whatever you're planning to do for your significant other, you better start making your plans now, whether it's chocolate or flowers or jewelry or weed whackers or hedge trimmers or whatever else it is that you're planning on dazzling your the love of your life with. This is your one-week warning. Get your stuff together here. Now, obviously, this last weekend, you know, was Super Bowl weekend. I'm very glad that nothing really went bang, either in the Cowboy Stadium or in Cairo, Egypt. A lot of people were very concerned that there might be an attempt to, how should I put this politely, inspire the nation into a new round of wars on those gosh darn Arab Muslims, or Mubarak might move to crush the democracy movement under the cover of the Super Bowl when we're all watching that. And fortunately, that did not happen. In fact, the biggest event from the Super Bowl, at least to judge by my email, because I didn't bother watching it, apparently Christine Aguilera made a mistake during the singing of the national anthem, and everybody's all upset and hot and bothered about it. And I don't, you know, I think we ought to cut her some slack, because, I mean, when you're living in a declining nation where anybody not on a government paycheck is not feeling a strong sense of loyalty and devotion to this government, because our current federal government makes Rome under Caligula look like the model of civic virtue and efficiency. So who is going to be pledging allegiance or singing the anthem anyway? I probably think that most Americans, when pressed, couldn't remember it at all. They'd probably go back and do an Eddie Izzard of just making up the words as they go along. And a big monkey pie and a stick in your eye and just whatever they could go through here. On the other hand, Christine, she is a very sharp girl. She may have done this deliberately because today everybody's talking about her. She's a big name and celebrity again. So I remember when Roseanne Barr just butchered the anthem, and everybody said, oh, how could she do that? And she's, well, she did it because, you know, you're all talking about her. That's the name of the game. Get attention. You know, go out and beat up Sean Penn. Anything to get people talking about you on the media is going to be a good thing. Even bad publicity is better than no publicity at all. If you don't believe me, look at all those tabloids at the supermarket checkout counters. The covers are full of people who haven't actually done anything work-related for years, and yet they're still out there being talked about because they're having a divorce and they're abusing their dog and they're doing this, all this other stuff, and it's really just quite a bit of nonsense. And it's a distraction, and it's our momentary recreation and sort of diversion away from the more serious aspects of life, which we're going to be getting back into this show. Obviously, for the rest of the show, we will go back to our normal serious, very downer, you know, depressing reporting on what's going on around the world here. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. A special shout-out and thank you to all of our listeners and readers who pitched in during our little emergency fundraising over the weekend. As you know, these are very, very difficult times for anybody running a website that is not owned and operated by a large corporation or a government somewhere. Apparently, Huffington Post just sold for $315 million. And on the other end of the spectrum, Godlike Productions just vanished apparently over the weekend for lack of funding. So there's this huge spectrum in there. The truth can be had for free, you know, but lying is a growth industry in the United States of America, maybe the only one that's left. I mean, public relations is huge, huge business, and the biggest single customer for public relations firms is the United States government, and they're out there busy building what we call the flogs. They're not blogs. They're phony blogs, hence the name flogs, and they're all over the place. WikiLeaks is a classic example of them. Anybody out there pretending to be the voice of the people, and they're well-funded, and they won't cross certain lines, and they won't criticize Israel's human rights violations, you're probably looking at a phony setup there. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the real world after these words from our sponsors.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the...
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking now about the situation in Egypt. It continues to drag on. I think at this point, Mubarak has given up trying to basically bluff the protesters out of Liberation Square in Cairo and all the other cities. I mean, this is all over. This is all over Egypt. All the major cities have got protests going on right now, demanding his immediate removal. And I think Mubarak just wants to try and wait them out until they get tired and hungry and go home. Certainly, Hillary Clinton is going along with that strategy, just saying these things will take time. There must be a gradual transition. Obama's been saying the same thing. Oh, yes, we're in favor of democracy, really, because that's what our nation is founded on. But in practicality, it must have a long, gradual transition to the new democracy, say 20, 30 years, maybe something like that. Well, my commentary on that is that when the American colonies broke free of King George III, there was no gradual transition. We fired his ass and just kept killing his people until he quit and went home. And that's what the people of Egypt may have to do. Because so far, all Mubarak done has been to talk, or his vice president, Suleiman, you know, the torturer's apprentice, has been talk. And everybody who's been involved in these talks, which, by the way, does not include al-Baradei, he's being blockaded out there, giving him the Ron Paul treatment. He's the person that nobody wants involved in the new Egypt. And so he's sort of being blockaded at the door the way Ron Paul was at the Republican convention in 2008. But everybody at the meetings that they've had between the current government and the pro-democracy freedom marchers, basically the freedom marchers are saying they're making all these wonderful promises. We don't believe they'll keep them. There's no reason to think they'll keep them. They haven't kept any they've made in the past. They've had 30 years to bring positive results to Egypt. Hasn't happened. If Mubarak hasn't done it after 30 years, he's not going to do it. I have the same argument all the time about Barack Obama, who came in with hope and change, and now we're like 2+ years into his first term of office, and all he's doing about the economic meltdown around us is forming more study groups to say, we should look at that. Actually, we thought you came into office saying you had a solution, and you didn't. Now, we're seeing more and more violence escalating around Liberty Square. In Cairo, appears to be a continuation of Mubarak's people. They're trying to create the media impression that the protests are going violent, because that's going to be necessary if there needs to be a justification for a U.S. intervention. And we're continuing to see more and more indications that even while Barack Obama is out here talking about democracy and will of the people, and all of these other things that we, the American people, know our nation was founded on, that in actuality, plans and preparations are being made in the background to go in and militarily intervene in Egypt. All they're looking for is an excuse that you will fall for. Now, they've been waving Muslim Brotherhood, those gosh darn Islamic people, at us for the last couple of weeks. And over the weekend, I pointed out, and I got a lot of email on this one. Most of it was good. Some of it was just outright obscene. Because I pointed out that, having an Islamic Republic take place in Egypt might not be a bad thing. Because after all, Iran became an Islamic Republic in 1979. And since that time, they have not invaded anybody. In the same interval of time, the Jewish state in Israel has attacked Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Gaza, Lebanon again, Gaza again, Gaza again, Gaza again, assassinations all over the place like that botch job over in Dubai, and of course the attack on the humanitarian aid flotilla in international waters last May. In that same interval of time, from 1979 to the present, the United States, which is officially a secular country but predominantly Christian, has gone off attacking everybody. I mean, I can't even memorize the list. It's so long. We posted it to whatreallyhappened.com. Panama, Grenada, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Yemen, Pakistan, a quarter of the country, I think. A quarter of the world, rather, I think. The United States is just attacking everybody constantly. There's somebody dying somewhere around the world at the hands of American military pretty much all the time. And so when they talk about, how horrible it would be to have an Islamic nation in Egypt, personally, I think it would allow everybody around Egypt to get a good night's sleep unworried about rapidly moving metal projectiles coming through your home and your village and your family. Because of the three states, the Christian state, the Jewish state, and the Islamic state is the only one that isn't invading everybody around it. And I think we all need to be paying attention to that. Now, in possibly what is one of the best moves yet to try and remove this idea that this is a dangerous Muslim plot to take over Egypt, today Christians joined the protest movement in Liberation Square. A group of Coptic Christians came down, and they're holding their religious services. The Muslims formed a circle around them, not threatening, protecting them from the police. And basically, if you look at the video, they're all getting along just fine. And that is actually the way it has always been in history. Left to themselves, people of all faiths get along just fine. It's those sociopathic, money-addicted fanatics who cloak their own personal evil in the vestments of the church or the robes of official government that go out and incite race hate, religious hate, war. God wants you to go over there and steal their wealth and give it to me, or you will not get into heaven kind of stuff. History has shown repeatedly that Christians and Jews and Muslims can get along in peace if it weren't for those few nutcases in the funny-looking robes who, when they're not busy molesting the little kitties, are screaming that the invisible man who lives in the clouds that nobody else can see or hear but them wants another holy war. or jihad, or whatever you want to call them. And by the way, jihad is not an Arab invention. They've invented a lot of stuff. Mathematics, a lot of engineering, a lot of medicine, a lot of good stuff came out of the Middle East. But the idea of a holy war, a war fought for God, actually came from the Catholic Church, the popes, Pope Innocent III. With the First Crusade, that was the first holy war. Jihad is what the Arabs call what the Catholic Church was doing. So when they talk about jihad, well, that's a Christian thing. It's where the Templars came from. Yes, we can go out with our swords and butcher people, but we're doing it for a really good reason. Because God told us, the invisible man in the clouds that nobody else can see or hear, told us to go out and butcher a bunch of people, steal all their money, and become incredibly rich and powerful in his infinite mercy. So the idea that this is a Muslim thing entirely is now gone. The Christians have joined in. They're all standing there, and it's just, you know, one less argument that they can have. Interestingly enough, over the weekend, we started hearing stories out of, I think it was MSNBC, about concern over Egypt's weapons of mass destruction. Insert an ominous chord here. And this is one of those things where you have to say, come on, guys. I mean, this talk about desperation on the cusp of madness. The U.S. government is trying to find a reason that they can invade Egypt and make it something the American people will accept. We're not going to stand by and let the U.S. government go in and attack Egypt's democracy movement just because it's a democracy movement. It doesn't work that way. We're not going to stand for that. So they're going to drag out this whole thing about weapons of mass destruction, and the IAEA is saying, oh, Egypt may have done something and they didn't properly report it. Horror of horrors! They're building nuclear weapons! I mean, it's the only thing they've got. They used it in Iraq. They're trying to use it against Iran. They're desperate enough to try and wave it around for Egypt. And people are saying, come on, guys, you know, come up with something a little bit better. Now, just before airtime, it was announced that Mubarak is attempting to buy the loyalty of what is left of his government. He's just authorized a 15% pay increase, pension increase across the board for all of the people in his government who are still there. And most people are interpreting this as signs that his support, even within his own government, is in decline. Because now he's just trying to basically bribe them into staying with the situation here a little bit. Now, perhaps the most troubling story that we have heard, about a week ago, we got word that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had ordered all of the top U.S. ambassadors, 260 of them from all around the world, back to Washington, D.C., for a summit conference, which begins today. They're all there in Washington, D.C., getting their marching orders. Nobody knows what they are. Apparently, it is something of such sensitivity. It could not be trusted to the normal means of communication. And frankly, I think this is a very, very dire warning sign indicating that there's going to be another war someplace, possibly against the people of Egypt. And the ambassadors are being told what they must say to all these other countries on planet Earth to explain why, even though we back democracy around the world, it should not apply in this case to Egypt. Because after all, Israel wants Mubarak kept in place, and ever since Israel went public with that, I mean, look how many people are standing up to defend Mubarak. Tony Blair's out there saying he's doing a good job. Hillary Clinton's saying, yes, he's got to stay in there. The U.S. envoy, Paul Wisner, basically came out over the weekend saying, yes, the official U.S. position is that Mubarak must stay. The U.S. government has backpedaled on that, and yet when you listen closely to what Barack Obama's talking about, a long transitionary period, it is always on the premise that Mubarak will stay during the transition. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to wrap up on this thing in Egypt so we can move on to some other stories that we've been neglecting over the last few days. But we are seeing, again, as I mentioned earlier in the show, clear indications of potential U.S. military intervention in Egypt against the democracy movement. And I wish to emphasize, and we made this our quote of the day at the whatreallyhappened.com website, a U.S. attack on the Egyptian democracy movement is an attack on democracy itself. Now, Obama and his people think that somehow they can sell you on the necessity of abandoning the founding principles of this nation in order to keep a dictator in power purely because Israel wants him to remain there. Because Israel doesn't want to have to deal with an Egypt that might not be all that friendly to Israel, especially after the Levant affair and trying to blame Israel for the attack on the USS Liberty and all the other things that have gone wrong there. We know that American warships are heading to Egypt, including Marine assault landing ships and a full-blown U.S. aircraft carrier. Now, the landing ships conceivably could be used for rescue operations, but not the carriers. Carriers are not used for rescuing Americans inside other countries. They're basically there to destroy things. We know that a National Guard detachment from Connecticut is en route. We now have a senior U.S. Marine officer is saying that multiple platoons are headed to Egypt. They're sending in the Marines. Now, the official story is that this is being done in order to rescue Americans who are threatened by the unrest in Egypt. Oh? Who's in danger over there? The pro-democracy activists so far have been peaceful. The only ones committing violent acts are Mubarak's police force and possibly some of the prisoners, which we now know were deliberately released from prison in order to cause confusion and unrest. Some of the prisoners have gone public. They've gone up to reporters and said, I was in the jail. I only had 2 months left to serve on my sentence. I didn't want to leave. The police said, either leave or we will shoot you. Go out and cause trouble. So the only party that is a threat to Americans who might still be in Egypt is Mubarak and his government. And it's a sure thing the Marines are not going in there to take on Mubarak. So the only other possible explanation is the U.S. is getting ready to militarily intervene in Egypt to overthrow, or rather to defeat, the pro-democracy movement, to go in and capture and kill the leaders and basically restore Mubarak to power, even though it is anathema to everything this country is supposed to stand for. It's a heck of a sales job. And apparently somebody in whatever public relations firm is running this for Washington, D.C., thinks they can convince you that while democracy is a really good thing for the entire world and was a justifiable excuse to go in and overthrow virtually every country the United States has overthrown over the last half century, that democracy would be a bad thing for those Egyptians. They're just not ready for it. Yeah, I mean, they've only been around for 4,000 or 5,000 years. They really don't know how to run a country just yet. So it is a crock. And I'm in one way, I'm not surprised they're trying to bring up this whole story about weapons of mass destruction, because you know, they got away with it in Iraq, and you know, they're trying to get away with it in Iran, and it's almost become the standard thing. The U.S. wants to attack somebody. Oh, they've got nuclear weapons. They got nuclear bombs. You know, they're bad. They're bad. We've got to go in and we you know, those gosh darn peace activists. They've got neutron bombs, and they're going to throw them at Israel if we don't go in there and kill them all. And I don't think anybody with an IQ containing at least two digits is going to buy any of this stuff, but that Israel has given the orders, and our government has no choice but to obey, because if the United States does not do what Israel says, Israel's going to come out and tell the whole world the truth behind 9/11, like we don't already know. And as embarrassing as it might be for Israel, it obviously is going to be considerably worse for the United States government. Who lied to us? Or even, to be generous, we're completely bamboozled by Israel, you know, which is not entirely beyond comprehension, because apparently, to judge by Obama's comments last week, America's intelligence agencies, every single one of them, gets 16 of these things, and all of them missed the growing signs of an Egyptian revolution, which means they're missing the signs of the one in the United States. So don't tell them. They don't know. They're clueless. And there's our salvation. All right. Let's see. Germany has offered refuge to Mubarak. If he should decide that he must leave Egypt, they're going to give him the Führer bunker in Berlin. And as a special added bonus, Adolf's pistol is still down there. Iraq is starting to sound like they might have Egypt-like protests. There was a partial army mutiny down in the Sudan. Gaza is starting to make noises that they, you know, they basically, they're tired of the of the Palestinian Authority, ever since Abbas stood up and said, you know, we're not going to declare a Palestinian state, even though half the world recognizes us now, because that would just upset Israel. And they want to get him out of there. All righty, let's see. We're coming down to the end of the segment. I know we got a caller waiting on the line. We're going to talk about global warming when we come back from this next commercial break there. We're going to be talking about the gas outages, the power break, the power breakdowns, the blackouts. Gas is still not turned on in many parts of Arizona and New Mexico. It's a huge, huge disaster. And Obama's pretty much ignoring it because he's too busy taking care of Israel's business in Egypt. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go to the phones. Lee in Georgia. Aloha, Lee. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Mike. You stole all my thunder there during that last segment, brother. Everything I wanted to say, you said, but let me see if I can squeeze
well,
a little bit of a
rumble.
Well, let me rewind the
tape. Let me rewind the tape, and then you can come in ahead of me.
There you go. Let me see if I can squeeze a little rumble in here. I'm right on board with you on what you're saying about, you know, with the news coming out about, you know, Marines going over to the so-called help with the evacuation and all of this. And I couldn't help but wondering, as I was reading this one article, you know, it's talking about, you know, these the Pentagon says they're going to be moving some warships and stuff like that. See, they don't need warships for evacuation. All they need are airplanes, and I believe they've got airports over there. But here's what I'm thinking, and I might be a little off track here. I want to kind of get your thoughts on this. Here's what I'm watching for. After they get these U.S. Marines over there and they get the warships in place and everything, I'm looking for a government building or some type of military installation or something like that to get blown up or God only knows what, and that's when they're going to go, see, it's those crazy people, and they're going to, boom, now we got martial law, military moving in, and again, U.S. troops being killed for nothing.
I agree with you up to a point. I think the false flag will actually take place somewhere along the Suez Canal. because the agenda there will be, you know, we have to intervene because we all depend on the Suez Canal. Those peace protesters are trying to cut off our supply of oil and try and make the threat a little bit more immediate. And also in all this confusion, I think Israel very much has decided that they want the Sinai so that they can completely surround Gaza and forestall the possibility of a new government in Egypt telling the Gazans, yeah, we'll open up the border with you. Come on over and spend your money here. You know, sell your products down here. We've got plenty of markets and commerce down here. And so I know that Israel is seriously thinking about grabbing at least a chunk of the Sinai during this confusion, because they recently rescinded their ban on Egyptian troops in the Sinai, which was a requirement of the peace treaty. And then after that, you know, they changed their mind and said no more Egyptian troops in the Sinai. So it looks like they're hedging their bets on that situation.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, that's what I was saying. I would be looking for either some kind of government or military installation. But yeah, you've got a good point. The Suez Canal would be a perfect target for them.
Yeah, all they'd need to do is find some old tramp steamer someplace.
Yep, and blow it up, sink it.
Yeah, blow it up, sink it right in the channel to shut everything down for a couple of weeks, and the whole economic markets would panic, and everybody would say, oh, our national interest requires that we be militarily in control of such a vital asset, and we'll be off and running, and so forth and so on.
Exactly. Hey, Mike, thanks a lot, man. I'm going to get out and let you get on with the show.
All right, well, thank you very much there, and hope it's not too cold in your part of the country. Sure is cold.
Not too bad at the moment, but we're expecting worse to hit.
Yeah, I know. I spoke to my brother earlier in the day. They've got yet another big snowstorm coming in. He says the snow is so high around where he lives, they literally have no place to put it. The snow plows cannot pitch it up high enough to get it over the snow that was plowed yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before. So they're really, really suffering up there. And there aren't enough snow plows because all the cities and counties were told it's going to be a mild winter. You don't need this equipment. You need to spend your money instead on carbon credits. Which brings us to the infrastructure debacle that has hit the United States over this last week during this whole brouhaha where Obama is fiddling in Egypt to Israel's tune, I might add, while Americans here in the Southwest were just having a terrible, terrible time of it. You already know about the blackouts, and the blackouts happened because the winter required people were turning on their electricity a little more than expected, and they don't have enough power generation stations to handle the excess load because of Obama's greenhouse gas limits on new power stations, which, by the way, apparently does not apply to a power station being built in California by General Electric, because General Electric's CEO is good buddies with Obama and a major campaign contributor, just to show you how these things work. So the power in Texas went out, and it turned out to have a cascade effect because the electricity in Texas is controlling the gas pumps that were sending natural gas up to New Mexico and apparently into large sections of Arizona. And so the gas shut off, and water pipes burst, massive amounts of damage to homes all across those two states because of the global warming fanatics. And everybody's hemming and hawing and saying, well, we're not responsible for the damage. We're only doing what the Fuhrer told us to do. You know, it starts out with a simple thing. We must limit greenhouse gases. Okay, well, we'll just have rolling blackouts. And then all of a sudden, everything dependent on the power starts falling apart, including the pipes. Now, the thing about gas, if you don't live in a home that uses natural gas, you may not be aware of this. When the electricity goes out, they can just turn it back on and it's instantly on everywhere. But because gas is toxic and poisonous, there are these little valves that are in the gas system all along the pipes and into the homes. And if the pressure falls, these little valves are designed to close, because if the pressure falls, the assumption is there's a leak someplace. They don't plan for the possibility that the gas has just been shut off. So when the gas is off and it's turned back on, work crews have to go out, to all of those little emergency safety valves and manually flip them back on. In the homes, in the communities, in the neighborhood, it is an ongoing process. Some people are still waiting for their gas to get turned on from the shutoff last Thursday. They have been through the entire weekend without any heat whatsoever. And again, water pipes are bursting. There's over the weekend, some 35 animals in a zoo in Mexico froze to death or died from hypothermia. And apparently in Clovis, New Mexico, a giraffe that had only been there for 4 months was found in a seriously ill, damaged, lying down condition. And giraffes do not lie down unless they're in serious trouble. And they basically had to put it to sleep. And they're not saying it was from the cold, but they can't find any other reason to explain it. And it's just amazing. Nobody's doing anything about this. The only response we've gotten out of the White House so far is apparently they took umbrage with the bloggers saying that all of this unhappiness in Arizona, New Mexico, and Texaco was directly attributable to these greenhouse gas caps that were limiting power generation. And the White House came out and said, oh, no, our policies are absolutely perfect. The winter was unexpectedly harsh. I will grant you that because it was your government, including NOAA and NASA, that told us the winter was going to be mild. And so did the UK Met Office and the IPCC and all the rest of the global warming wackos, which you supported. So this is a darned if you do and darned if you don't situation. Okay? Either your greenhouse gas policies really put the screws to the American people in three states over the weekend, or your failure to correctly anticipate the climate and weather realities of planet Earth put the screws to three states full of Americans over the weekend. And either way, you failed your job. The other thing that they're going to do is apparently, you know, all these emergency messages you get on the TV, you get that really rock, you know, this is only a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcasting castration. And they go on and on about it. And usually it's in the middle of like some really important TV show. You know, you're at the end of the detective movie and there's, you know, and the killer really was, this is a test of the emergency broadcasting system. And you just, oh, come on. And they're going to change the system. As you know, they just got rid of the color code system. We no longer have terror condition orange, red, peach, toper, mauve. And they haven't told us what the new system is going to be. But they're going to put President Barack Obama's voice on the emergency alerts. Okay? So he's not actually going to do anything about the blackouts, the brownouts, the flooding, the gas shutdown, the collapsing bridges, collapsing rails, holes in the road. Not going to be doing any of that because he's too busy over there subverting democracy in Egypt for Israel. But at least now you can all hear him pretend that he gives a darn about what happens to the American people when the gas and the electricity fail. That's all they're going to do to deal with the crisis that we're going through right here, is the president's going to get up there and pretend to be concerned. Yes, it is a problem, and we are working on it. You can believe that we will make life better for you. We're kind of like in the same boat as the Egyptians. We have been told for 30 years life is going to get better, and it has gotten steadily worse, 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 and worse. So, all righty. The short version here is that this winter has... we've got another caller on the line. I'm going to take Ruth in Illinois. Aloha, Ruth. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
You might want to go back to the article about the Rothschilds buying European Weather Service.
Yeah.
It was stated on the Chicago TV Weather News that they had spotted that storm on the European Weather Service. It wasn't showing on the U.S. Weather Service. They spotted it a week before the U.S. Weather Service acknowledged it. So that's probably why the Rothschilds have decided that the European Weather Service needs to be controlled. The reason I actually called is I have a question, and it applies
to
the last segment.
Okay, before we go to that question, though, I want to back up on this situation. You're saying basically that the weather reporting in Europe was talking about this massive winter storm that's hitting the United States, but that American weather reporting wasn't really talking about it that much.
Right.
We were getting some interruptions in the connection.
Kaplan,
I wasn't sure.
On, uh, Mike Kaplan. I think it was on Channel 5. I think it's NBC. Stated that he had spotted it on the European Weather Channel and that it wasn't showing on the U.S. Weather Channels yet a week before. He came out and said that on his weather program.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to hunt that down because, yeah, we did comment on that earlier where one of the many holding companies of the Rothschilds has bought a controlling interest in the single largest provider of online weather information, graphs, charts, maps, whatever, that are used for websites, smartphones, and TV stations. And it was very alarming because weather is not something you normally make a huge amount of money on, but they bought a controlling interest in the company from which everybody is getting all of their charts. And it puts them in a position to be able to go in and start tweaking the weather reporting as we head into another year with the global warming cultists and the global government fanatics and the carbon Nazis desperate to resell this idea that the world is getting warmer. And now we're finding out the Rothschilds are buying up the data information systems on which 90% of America are going to rely on to be told what is going on around them with the weather. You know, if you see on TV, ooh, it's a hot day, it may feel cool where you are, but people still believe that TV set. And they shouldn't, but they do. And, you know, of course, I don't even watch the regular TV weather reports anymore. I'll get the raw satellite data and I'll just look at it myself. But, you know, I came out of a space science background and I can do that. But it is a very, very dangerous situation. It proves to us that the carbon Nazis have not quit, that they want to come back and still sell this global warming myth to everybody to the point where they're willing to buy up the media in order to use it to propagandize people. I mean, even as these major blizzards kept pounding on America, and we're still hearing this thing about how 2010 was the hottest year on record, to the point where everybody was saying, are you out of your mind? This is the most ridiculous thing we've ever heard for you to be saying that. But they haven't given up. If the Rothschilds are buying up the resources for online weather reporting, for the media and for the web, then they're going to come back next summer, and they're going to try and sell you that Kool-Aid yet again. Ruth, are you there?
Yeah. My question.
Yeah.
My actual question was, is Obama going to give control of the Suez Canal to Israel?
Is Obama going to give control of the Suez Canal to who?
Israel.
I'm sure Israel would love that. It's a huge source of revenue. And I think that was one of the reasons during the last time that Israel and Egypt went to war, and Israel just swept in there. Remember, in the Bible, Israel is supposed to be all the land from the Nile to the Euphrates, which would definitely include the Suez Canal. And, this might be a major, major confrontation. Virtually every observer outside the U.S. government in Israel is saying that if there is a war started in Egypt over this democracy issue, the entire Mideast is going to light up. And one of two things is going to happen. Israel's either going to get wiped out completely, or they're going to have to demonstrate to the rest of the world that they have been a nuclear power all along and start hurling bombs onto all these other cities. Then Israel will get wiped out because it's only half the size of New Jersey, and it's only going to take one atomic bomb coming back to really put an end to all this nonsense. Are you there?
Yep. Great show, Mike. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're still having problems with our telephone system, where I'm not always hearing everything that is coming my way. Okay, I think the phone lines are empty now. Let's move right along here. Now, as I was saying before, this harsh winter, third harsh winter in a row, is killing off what are called the bumper crops. And I got emails from people saying, what do you mean by bumper crop? Is this something you're growing on the front of your car? No, what it means is when you, plant your crops in the spring, as soon as the snows melt, and you will get a harvest, but it's still kind of warm weather, you'll reseed as quickly as you can, and you might get a second round of crop out of the field before winter really gets too hard for things to grow properly. And that little extra crop in there is called a bumper crop. And it puts a little more food into the system, puts a little more food into your storage, and it's generally a good thing. And so farmers will try and go for bumper crops. If winter arrives too early and too hard, the bumper crops will die. And that's what's happening right now. And all across the Northeast, farmers are watching their bumper crops, which was the difference between making it and not making it in these hard economic times, and they're watching them just freeze in the field. Now, there are things you can do to protect your crops, like smudge pots and various other tricks that you can do of hosing them down and basically to keep them from freezing, to just keep a little bit of extra warmth down there on the field, with smoke generators and things like that. But you've got to prepare ahead of time. You've got to have the smudge pots, and you've got to have the fuel that you put in the smudge pots in order to protect your crops. The farmers don't have it because they were told it was going to be a mild winter because of global warming. And we still have the carbon Nazis out there trying to say, oh, no, global warming brings really severe winter storms. Then why didn't you predict those? We'll be right back.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to AshworthTraining.com.
Walk like an Egyptian. And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're almost at the end of hour number one. We're going to have to say goodbye to our WWC, our shortwave radio audience. A reminder that if you'd like to listen to our number two of our assorted commentary, you can log into republicbroadcasting.org, or you can go to whatreallyhappened.com, and in the upper right menu there is a button that will take you to republicbroadcasting.org, where you can listen to the remainder of the show. Now, interesting little story came up. The Department of Homeland Security, who apparently unable to actually find real terrorists, has now taken on the job of enforcing copyrights and trademarks and brand identification as threats to the national security, has gone on a rampage of seizing website domains for copyright of violate and the violation of copyright. And they started by going to various obvious offenders of commercial content, file trading sites, music swapping sites, file sharing sites, bootleg software, bootleg movies, things like that that we can call, you know, we all understand there's an issue there. There is some validity where, you know, the creators of content should have some control over it. There are exceptions for what is called fair use. If you're excerpting, you're not just copying the whole thing, but you're excerpting and you're adding commentary to where you're saying, this is what I'm saying about what they're talking about there. That's all part of the fair use doctrine, educational purposes, things like that. Now, all of a sudden, the Department of Homeland Security has started seizing website domains that merely link to copyrighted material. This has yet to succeed in court. This appears to be harassment to try and bury the operators of what are called news aggregator sites, of which mine tends to be, except we do have a lot of original content there as well. And they're not holding up in the courts. And the primary reason they're not holding up is you have websites like Google and Facebook and MySpace and Twitter that routinely link to the same copyrighted material. And the owners of the copyright don't mind because it's driving more traffic to them. But the Department of Homeland Security is now saying that we can shut down any website that links to copyrighted material that we deem is a threat to the national security. And obviously they're targeting the commentary blogs that are linking to stories about what the U.S. government is up to and saying, well, this is what it means, and this is probably where they're fibbing to you about various things. And it's rather interesting to see the Department of Homeland Security squirm when they're justifying the shutdowns on the basis of linking to copyrighted material, but it's okay for Google to do it, it's okay for Facebook to do it, it's okay for MySpace to do it, and it's okay for Twitter to do it. And it's very obviously the beginnings of an Egypt-like attempt to shut down alternative news websites and sources. Remember, in the weeks before 9/11, the FBI went all around America shutting down the websites of Muslim charities. They were targeting the websites of anybody who might try and get out there and say, wait a minute, Arab Muslims had nothing to do with this. Something else is going on. They were clearing the field of anybody who might gainsay the official story, and they did it the week before 9/11 happened. So together with this very alarming story about how all 260 American ambassadors are back in Washington, D.C. for some kind of a grand foreign policy summit, it does look like something very, very big is in the works. So this could be the beginning of the global revolution or the global war for freedom, whatever you want to call it. We're going to take a station break. We'll be back in a minute.
The next round of